There's another very important truth that the Bible says. You know, we're told that it's only as we see Jesus more clearly that we can be like Him. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, the Holy Spirit shows us the glory of Jesus in His Word. The mirror is the Word. Then He changes us into that likeness. I cannot be like Him unless I see Him clearly. And even though the story of Jesus is in the four Gospels, so many Christians have read the four Gospels, even if they haven't read the rest of the New Testament. I think most believers have read the four Gospels. But you can read the four Gospels and not see Jesus. You can see the historical Jesus, which the world also knows about. There was a man called Jesus who did miracles, was crucified, rose again. Okay. That's just story. But to see Jesus spiritually, that's very, very important. That's what will challenge us to be like Him. So how can that take place? So I want to show you a passage in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, this is the answer that Jesus Himself gave. How people can see Him. See, John 12 and verse 20. You know, the Jews that virtually rejected Jesus, they hated Him, the Pharisees, they wanted to kill Him. But there were people from another country, Greece. We read in verse 20, there were certain Greeks who were probably proselyte Jews who came up to worship at the feast. They were converted in Greece and became Jews. And they came to Philip, verse 21, and said, we want to see Jesus. Isn't that your desire? We want to see Jesus. So Philip came and along with Andrew and told Jesus, there are some people from Greece who want to see you. Now most preachers would be very excited if some foreigner wants to see them. It was not Jesus. He was not bothered by that. You can come from any part of the world. And He told them how they could see Him. And that's what we need to learn. He says, unless, verse 24, a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. Now, this is the answer to, we want to see Jesus. But if it dies, it'll bear much fruit. He who loves his life in this earth will lose it. But he who hates his life in this earth will keep it to life eternal. So if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant also be. If any man serves me, the Father will honor him. So this is the way to see Jesus. Jesus had a way of giving abstract answers to a very straightforward question. What he was saying is, the important thing is not to see my physical face. To see my physical face, everybody sees it. Even the Pharisees see it, and so many people see it. But to really see me, you must be willing to fall into the ground and die like a grain of wheat. That means you must be willing to lose that earthly attractiveness that you have and this life that you have in this earth, like the, you know, a grain of wheat has got an outer shell, and when it goes into the ground, it cracks open. And when it cracks open, the life inside that grain comes up through the earth and produces 100 grains of wheat. That is the principle of all farming. One grain of wheat falls into the ground and it cracks open and the life inside comes out. Now, if you don't let it go into the ground and fall into the ground and die, you take that grain of wheat, and it's a beautiful grain of wheat, and put it in a glass case in a cupboard, it'll be a grain of wheat even after 100 years. But if you allow it to fall into the ground and die, in 100 years, it'll be 1,000,000 grains of wheat. This is the secret of fruitfulness. This is the secret of seeing Jesus. In other words, there must be a brokenness. That a brokenness, you know, a grain of wheat which wants to appear beautiful before others. It will never be willing to be broken or to die, because it's concerned about its testimony. Many Christians are more concerned about their testimony before others. Everybody must think I'm a spiritual man, more than their desire to see Jesus. I want to ask you honestly, what is your greatest desire? Is it that everybody in the church should think you're a very spiritual person? Or is it your passion to see Jesus? I couldn't care less whether people think I'm spiritual or not. It doesn't bother. I'm not interested in getting a reputation in the church. I want to see Jesus. There are very few people like that, I tell you. In all our CFC churches, even in people who have been in the CFC churches for many years, they have a desire to have a good testimony. They are disturbed when they feel something has happened which will spoil my testimony. That's what you're concerned about. The Lord sees that. He says, that's what you're concerned. Okay, pursue that. But there are others who say, Lord, what people think about me is not important. Because what you think about me, that's the only thing that's important. I want to see you more clearly because that's the only way I'll become like you. And the only way to see you is for me to lose my outward attractiveness and to be broken and misunderstood and reproached. And I rejoiced in it. Jesus said, when you're reproached and misunderstood, rejoice. I tell you, in my entire life, I may have seen two or three Christians like that. Most of them are so offended when people misunderstood me. Oh, they misunderstood me. I must do everything to justify myself. When will they ever want to be broken to see Jesus? Brokenness is a wonderful thing. Throughout Scripture, you find that, you remember in the previous chapter, sorry, not the previous chapter, same chapter, before he speaks about the grain of wheat falling into ground and dying, you see a picture of that in earlier on. In it says in the house of Bethany, chapter 12, verse 3, Mary was so grateful that her brother Lazarus had been raised from the dead that she took a pound of very costly perfume. And that was in some type of bottle or jar, whatever they had those days. And she had to break it in order to let that fragrance of the ointment come forth. Otherwise, it won't come forth. There's always brokenness before. And then it says, when she did it, verse 3, the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And you see another example of that earlier on in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, now that's not very clearly written here. Maybe we should see the other story, same story of the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14. In Matthew 14, we read here, the feeding of the 5,000, which we see in John 6, is written in more detail in Matthew 14. Remember, all the miracles that Jesus did, he was teaching his disciples something. First of all, he was teaching that there's no problem that God cannot solve. That is a fundamental message in all the miracles. Every miracle, there was one message. No problem that God cannot solve. He taught his disciples that for 3.5 years. And if we have learned that, that solves a big problem in our life, that there's no problem God cannot solve. So here was the problem. With 5,000 people, there's not enough food. One boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus said in verse 18, Matthew 14, 18, bring them here to me. And he ordered the multitudes to recline on the grass. And now see what he did. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there were two things that he did. He blessed it, verse 19, and then he broke it. And then fed the multitude. Now what I want you to see is, when he blessed the 5 loaves, it was still 5 loaves. But when he broke it, it became 50,000 loaves to feed all those 10,000 people, 5,000 men, plus a lot of women and children. So how did the 5 loaves become 50,000? Not just by being blessed, but by being broken. There's a message there which the disciples probably didn't understand then, but they understood later. Very often, we are so eager to pray, Lord, bless me. Bless me. It's one of the most common prayers that all believers pray. You're blessed and you remain the same. We also need to pray, Lord, now that you've blessed me, break me. Then 5 will become 50,000. This is the secret. Whether you see it in the grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying and coming forth so that we can see Jesus more clearly, or whether it's in the alabaster vial of perfume that's broken so that the odor fills the whole house, or in the feeding of a multitude, is always brokenness, brokenness, brokenness.